Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is very much on request about to do with how to get a better night's sleep. And basically how to improve your sleep fitness. And for any people that are looking to improve their quality of sleep or little hacks for the quantity that you may be getting and how I've struggled myself and how it's only something I've recently fixed. I had such amazing feedback from the anxiety episode, how to deal with anxiety. That was one of the most requested episodes. This is probably right up there, if not joint, it's definitely a close second. People asking, could I do a podcast episode on sleep and how to improve your night's sleep? So just to give you a little bit of background, I'm a notoriously poor sleeper. It's something that has really interested me over the years because I really, really struggle to get a good night's sleep. There's things that I've done and I feel I've trialed absolutely everything. I have one full section in the book talking about sleep and my own difficulties with trying to get, you know, enough sleep, waking up feeling refreshed, where I would find that I would just struggle so much in the morning and I'd have no energy through the day, and then I'd be using things like coffee and sugar and different kinds of stimulants to try and pick myself back up, and how I struggled with that for years. So for this episode is going to be for anybody who's either in that boat and they struggle to get a good night's sleep, they struggle to stay asleep, and basically the things that may help and support you that I've utilized myself and I've utilized with people in my online program. I've got a full sleep section in my online program in terms of what supplements work well. And then in my Q&As back and forth, I tend to work and put plans together with people to improve their night's sleep. As I said, it's just something that I had to try and experiment with. And for the last 6, 9, even 12 months, I've massively improved it. And my actual output and work output has been massively increased because of me feeling more rested in the morning. So the first thing we want to look at is the nutrition side. Nutrition is huge in terms of getting a good night's sleep. There are certain foods that you'll eat that are going to upset your sleep pattern, and certain foods you'll eat that will probably help you nod off and get a better night's sleep. The biggest thing that I found for me was there are certain foods that are going to put your body into a state of mild fight or flight. And I spoke about it in the anxiety episode that there are, for me, it's things like gluten, dairy, sugar. They put my body into a very mild fight or flight. Additives, preservatives, flavorings, things like that. And I do find that I'm just on a state of edginess and anxiousness. And if I try and go to bed that night and my nutrition's been off that day, I find I'm fighting a losing battle until the next day. And what happens then is I get a poor night's sleep on, you know, the Wednesday, and then I can't sleep all through that night. And then I wake up the next morning and I need to get all my work done, and I drink more coffee and have more stimulants and have more sugar, trying to get a pickup. And then the cycle continues until I get 2 or 3 days off where I can kind of try and reset it. And it's a horrible way to live your life. I've been there, and it's a case that you constantly feel like you're trying to catch up to yourself. So keeping your nutrition on point, sticking with foods that your body understands that's not going to send your fight or flight system into a crazy state. Certain emulsifiers, preservatives, additives, things like that, and processed foods and polyalcohols that you might find in chewing gum and protein bars can also upset this. They mimic insulin in the brain so that you're going to have really bad cravings later on in the evening, and you find that when your body's trying to deal with those cravings, you can't wind down enough to actually get some sleep. So making sure your nutrition is on point in terms of eating real foods. It's not so much the system in terms of should I do a keto or an IFFYM or 80-20. It's more finding what works best for you and finding the foods that send you into a state of fight or flight, your trigger foods, and then avoiding them altogether, but definitely near bedtime. I know if I have anything, any sort of dairy or sugar within a couple of hours of sleep, it sends me into a little bit of a state of a fog, and I can't unwind while I'm going to bed because my body just goes into a state of worry and anxiety for no reason other than those foods will trigger me off. So I don't eat any of those foods. Try and avoid them as much as I can, but I definitely don't eat them around bedtime. So I try and find your trigger foods that you notice are making you feel on edge or uncomfortable for no real reason, and then I would eliminate them before bedtime. The next thing then is two little hacks that I found has worked really, really well for me. I personally can't go to bed on a full stomach. If I eat too close to bed, I feel that it's all sitting in my stomach and I literally cannot wind down and go to sleep. There's other people who will eat and sleep better on a full stomach. My Paul, who came through my mentorship program, is the complete opposite to me. He will eat a full meal and he'll have a better night's sleep because of it. I have to wait, you know, an hour or 90 minutes after I've eaten before I can go to bed to get a proper night's sleep. So finding what works for you in that sense is also going to help. But I found these little hacks that work regardless of whether you're better having a full stomach going to bed or having an empty stomach going to bed. I find a little bit of carbohydrate, like a slow complex carbohydrate, like oats, for example, tend to give me a better night's sleep if I have them in the evening, an hour and a half before bed. What happens basically with oats and a complex carbohydrate is you're going to get a slow release of glucose into your brain. Your body's main energy source is glucose. And if you have that small, slight release through the night, it's going to release a little bit of dopamine in the brain. And it means you're going to be a little bit more relaxed going to bed, which will help you unwind. And I found that's worked really well for me. So another thing that I found works really well for me is MCT oil, medium chain triglycerides. That or oats, a slow complex carbohydrate, tend to work very well for me. The reason that this works so well, and this has worked with countless of my online clients that I've worked with, is because your body runs off energy source on two sides. It runs off either glucose or it'll run off ketones. It's like petrol or diesel for a car. But what happens with MCT oil is you'll get a mild ketone release in the brain, which will give you a similar effect to having something glucose-y or sugary before bed, and will send your body into a state of relaxation before you go to bed. So I have found a little bit of MCT oil or a little bit, you know, 50 grams of porridge or oats before bed tends to help me nod off to sleep. I also try and put a little bit of protein in there as well, and more for recovery. You got to be a little bit careful with this, because if you have too much protein before bed, what happens is you produce a hormone or a chemical in your body called orexin. It's basically it will actually disturb your pattern and your sleep pattern. So I remember when I was in my early teens, I used to have two or three chicken breasts, small little chicken breasts before bed, thinking that it would keep me satiated through the night and fuel my muscles, when what was actually happening was my body was starting to release this orexin and it was starting to actually disturb my pattern of sleep. So once I found I cut back to say 20 grams or 25 grams of whey protein or rice protein, that alongside my MCT oil or alongside my porridge allows me to get into a really good night's sleep. And what I suggest with anyone I work with and anybody listening to this is trial both and see what works well for you. Try a little bit of oats with a little bit of whey protein. Try a little bit of MCT oil with a bit of whey protein or vegan protein or a meat source or a fish source, whatever your personal preference is, and see what are the doses and what are the amounts that work best for your body type to allow you to have the best night's sleep that you can possibly have. It's going to be trial and error depending on your body weight, depending on your digestion. Some people might have that meal an hour before bed. Some people might have it directly before. So find what works for you and then apply it and then double down on what works. If you know that oats and a little bit of rice protein before bed allows you to have a better night's sleep if you have it at 60 minutes before you go to bed, then do that each night that you can control it, and it's going to help your sleep quality over the long period of time. The next thing then is training. This is something I struggled with, because when I used to work as a primary school teacher in London, the only time in the evening, when I say the only time I prioritized training was after my school day. And the day's a lot longer in London. You know, you'd be working at, 8 in the morning till 5 in the evening compared to Irish times, which are shorter. So by the time I got to the gym, it used to be 6:15, 6:30. By the time I was home, I got my gear bag, I got on my bike, I got on the bus, and I traveled to the gym. And it'd be about 6:30 before I train. I'd train for an hour to 7:30. I'd start to unwind at 8:00, and I'd try and get to bed for, 9:30, 9:10, whatever time it was, because I'd be up early the following morning. What happens sometimes when you train late at night is because your body releases cortisol when you train late at night, it can sometimes give you that engaged second wind, which means that if you train too late in the evening, you're actually going to have a lower quality of sleep that night because of the elevation in cortisol and the second wind that you're getting. I find that this does affect me. If I train any later than 5 p.m. in the day, my sleep is affected that night. It's just the way my body works. In terms of everybody's circadian rhythm, you're going to fall within the same bracket of, where the circadian rhythm will start to peak around 10 p.m. But everybody's going to be affected in some mild way, shape, or form because of the cortisol release that you naturally get when you train. When you train, your body releases glucose from the cell in order to give you energy. It releases cortisol to give you release glucose from the cell so that you have energy for the workout. That's part and parcel of control stress, control cortisol release that is going to be beneficial for your body when you're channeling it into exercise. But what happens with people is they get that spike, you get a second wind, and then you're not able to nod off when you go to bed at 10 p.m. or 10:30. I actually utilize this now because of my schedule. I get up at 5:30 or 6 a.m. every morning. I will do my work for the first 4, 5, 6 hours in the morning. So Skype calls with people I'm working with, my online program, my check-ins, content creation. I'll do that for the first 5 or 6 hours. And then I find my brain starts to switch off. And I normally train around 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. in the day because I get a second wind every time I train. So what happens is I come home from the gym at 2, 3 p.m. and I've got a second wind, and I'll go and create more content, or I'll do a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live or a Snapchat Q&A because I've now got a second wind, because that's what training does and can give you, is providing you're not in a state of, you know, overtraining when your central nervous system is fatigued. So I utilize it now, but for a lot of people, sometimes it is a case that you cannot train at any other time in the evening. Just be aware that if it's affecting your sleep, it may be something that you may want to try switching to training in the morning or training at lunchtime, or just making sure that you're not adding stimulants or anything like that to your workout before you train. Because again, if you've got caffeine, which has about a 10-hour half-life, that's going to be in your system while you're sleeping, so it's going to affect your actual state of sleep. So you may have to play around with that. Some people are affected less than others. I'm very sensitive to it, so if I train at 6 or 7 p.m., I find it's 12, 1 a.m. before I've completely knocked off and I'm able to sleep again. But it's very case dependent, so see what works for you. There's an argument that you could, if you can only train at 5, 6 p.m., it's just being aware that your body's going to be in that elevated state of having that cortisol release and that potential second wind. And there's a couple of hacks that I'm going to mention next and supplements you can use that can bring you back to a relaxation state faster and can actually allow you to get into a deeper sleep if for whatever reason you cannot change your training time and you can only train late in the evening. Okay, so the next thing then is the supplements. I tend to approach supplements from two different angles depending on each person's circumstance. So for example, if you're coming from that evening training bracket and it's the only time you can train, it's the only time you have available in your schedule, there are certain supplements that I like to add in there that are going to deload and de-stress your central nervous system and unwind your central nervous system, which can actually get you back into a state of relaxation and reduce your cortisol and get you into a state of rest and digestion faster than if you just left it to your own devices. So number one thing I would do is make sure you avoid evening stimulants. So don't take your cup of coffee at 5 or 6 p.m. for your workout if you're planning to be in bed at 10 or 11 p.m. Caffeine has about a 10-hour half-life, so 5 hours later after having it, there's still, you know, if you've had a 200 milligram capsule of coffee or cup of coffee, you still have about 100 milligrams in your system 5 hours later. So that's going to affect your sleep and it's going to affect your central nervous system. So if you get up and to go to bed, to go to the toilet in the middle of the night, or you wake up from a noise, your body's going to jump straight up and think it's morning time because you've got an elevation of cortisol, an elevation of fight or flight, because that caffeine is still left in your system. This is something that I struggled with for years when I competed, because I used to take so many fat burners and different stimulants trying to get my body fat down to an unhealthy level, you know, at 4 or 5%, so I could compete on the world stage and do all of these things. I would use so many stimulants and I'd go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or I'd hear a penny drop or something would drop, and I'd wake up as if it was first thing in the morning at 3 a.m. because my body was in such a heightened state of my central nervous system being over fatigued and taxed from too much stimulants. So that's something that can affect you. So number one is don't have your stimulants too late in the evening. But then number two, if you are training in the evening, things like magnesium and taurine in particular are going to be your two go-to supplements to try and unwind your central nervous system after training. On the days that I can only train at 7 or 8 p.m., and there are days with my schedule that I can only train in the evening, I will make sure I have my magnesium and taurine. Again, the dose is going to be dependent on each person. I normally find 200 to 400 mcgs of magnesium. Some can tolerate more. I normally find 500 to 1,000 mcgs of taurine, but again, some can tolerate less, some can tolerate more. Follow the instructions on the bottle on whatever package or program or supplement brand that you have, but I will take them directly after training to try and take my body out of that state of fight or flight and send it into rest and digest and recovery faster than if I didn't use it. So they're the main two that I would use if you train in the evening. I love those as supplements anyway, and particularly during the week when my schedule is a lot busier than at the weekend, I try and take my weekends off and I spend it with my little girl, and me and Holly do daddy daughter things, and I will do a little bit of a Snapchat story, but the rest of my work is largely scheduled. I'm nearly impossible to reach at the weekend for that reason. But during the week, I have a very, very hectic schedule, as most people do, whether you're working full-time or in college full-time or have a family or whatever it is. Most people's lives are really hectic. So I find that things like magnesium and taurine that wind down my central nervous system tend to help me unwind and de-stress before night. So there's times that even though I've trained at 12 or 1 p.m, I'll still take those supplements at nighttime. I've actually put them on my Snapchat story, BrianK019. If you're not following my Snapchat, make sure you're following me on there. I put all my supplements and meals and training sessions on Snapchat. But I put it up last week and it had, I don't know what it was, it was up to nearly 1,000 screenshots in the magnesium and taurine that I put up. Because I know there's a lot of people, I did a setup and an explanation on this is why I take it, because it helps me unwind. So there was a lot of screenshots with it, because I know a lot of people suffer from the same thing. Then normal supplements that I will take before bed. I have a stack that is my absolute recommend and go-to. I have these in my online program. I've recommended them in my book, and I'm going to suggest them now as well. My number one go-to is going to be some form of ZMA. So either supplementing with magnesium by itself, or supplementing with zinc by itself, or combining them yourself, and then vitamin B6. They're normally all together. Zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B6 are very, very potent supplements in terms of raising your body's natural testosterone levels. And both genders, guys and girls, both need an equal balance of testosterone. Guys need it obviously a little bit higher, but girls also want that balance. You don't want to be having too much estrogen, because that can have effect on your body's ability to burn body fat. Your mood can be all over the shop and out of whack. And having a healthy level of testosterone in a female body is also going to make sure that your hormones are balanced and your energy and body fat composition is more balanced than if you're out of balance with estrogen and testosterone. So I find that zinc, ZMA, zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B6 tends to work very, very well. What it does is it allows your body to drop into a deeper state of REM. So your REM sleep is the most important type of sleep you get. Your rapid eye movement, it's where you're starting to recovery. Your body is literally downloading what's happened during the day. That's what happens when we sleep. It's why people get such disorders when they've gone too long without sleep, because your body has no way of downloading everything that's came in. It's why your memory can get completely turned all over the place if you're not getting good night's sleep and you're not retaining information as well, because if you haven't downloaded that information every night, your body's not able to process more. There's a great book called Sleep by Nick, I can't remember his last name, but I'll link it in the show notes, and he talks about the ability for your body to go into REM sleep and how it's downloading and processing the information. And if you go 2, 3, 4 nights without this, that your memory and your actual retention information is greatly reduced. The next supplement I love then is 5-HTP, which is it's basically L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid that is very, very highly dosed in things like turkey. It's why when around Thanksgiving time and Christmas time, people will make reference to falling asleep after Christmas dinner because of the amount of tryptophan that's in turkey. Now, I eat turkey all through the year and I don't fall asleep during the day, so it's something that's kind of highly elevated around Christmas time. But 5-HTP definitely does work for helping your night's sleep. What it does is, it's a precursor, and a precursor is basically anything that helps your body make something else. So for example, if you're all the ingredients you're putting into a cake and you put in the oven to actually make it, your ingredients are your precursors. Your tryptophan is a precursor for serotonin. Serotonin is one of the happy hormones you get in your brain. And by having that tryptophan working as a precursor, it can elevate that happy hormone to help you relax before bed and can just allow you to get into a deeper sleep, because you have, it has a calming effect on your brain and can have a calming effect on your body as a result. So it's one of my favorite go-to supplements. The last one then is GABA. I'm a huge fan of GABA purely because of the studies that have been done and my actual own implication on how it works for anxiety and its actual ability to reduce anxiety in people that are very, very highly stressed. I tend to save it before bed because I find it does help my body unwind, and I just feel if I'm feeling a bit anxious or worried for no reason, or if for a meeting that I have the next day, or I have to be up early, or if Holly's been sick, or the things that normally will make me stress out and worry, I find that GABA just tends to wind me down and keep me really, really calm before bed. Now, again, there's some fantastic studies released on GABA and its effect to actually have an impact on people that struggle with anxiety and its ability to boost natural growth hormone in higher doses. But I tend to stick to the prescribed dose, which is normally around 100 to 200 mcgs. And I know people will take it higher for natural growth hormone, so do your own kind of study and research on that if that's what you're using it for. But for me, from a sleep point of view, that dosage works great for me. So what I'll do is I'll put the ZMA, my GABA, and my 5-HTP all together, and I'll have them about 30 minutes before bed. I tend to cycle on and off my supplements purely because I don't want my body to get too used to things like tryptophan, which are going to be a precursor for serotonin, and things like GABA, which will unwind my body. If I feel I don't need them, I don't take them. But if I feel that I've had a few nights sleep or I've been off for a few nights because I've been traveling, I will add them straight back in and try and get my routine back on track. So that's everything from today's episode. And there's loads more that I've done on sleep in terms of your chronotype, finding out if you're an AM or PM person, how to build a nighttime routine, and all of these things that can help support you. So you check out my blog on www.briankeenfitness.com. My book that's coming out in the early summer has a lot on sleep. It's in the fitness and nutrition section and will hopefully help a lot of people. And then I've got videos on YouTube as well on my Facebook page about how to improve your sleep quality, how to become a morning person, different videos that can support you. So definitely make sure to check out those if it's an area you're interested in. This is a podcast that I may do a part two at some stage because there's a whole other angle that I could touch it from in terms of your chronotype, building a nighttime routine. But today I wanted to stick and focus on the nutrition, training, and supplementation because that's what I fixed first and had the greatest impact on me. So once you've applied those things, things like building your morning routine, building your nighttime routine before you wind down can send you to the next level in terms of sleep quality. But none of that matters until you actually get the foundation in place to give yourself the best chance of getting a good night's sleep. So I hope this episode helped you loads. Again, a massive thank you to everybody for downloading. The numbers on the podcast have just been mind-blowing to me. It's been incredible. And the amount of referrals and people saying, oh, my friend told me about your podcast, so-and-so told me about your podcast, that means so much to me. So I just want to take this time to say thank you for that. I know when people are sharing or recommending my podcast or my Snapchat or different platforms that I have, it just means so much because not only have you found value in it yourself, but you found that you got enough value to share it with the person in your life. So I just want to thank you so much for that. To find more information about me, you can go on to my website at www.briankeenfitness.com. My blog is on there and you can sign up to my newsletter on there. And for any information on my online top 50 program, which is my build muscle, lose body fat program, depending on your goals, whether you're a guy or a girl, you can email me at brian@briankeenfitness.com or check out the information on the website. And for my second program, my GAA Lean Body program. So if you're a footballer, hurler, camogie player, ladies footballer, looking to get the body you want, but perform at your top level so that you perform like a pro and look like a pro, you can email me at brian@briankeenfitness.com or again, check out the information on the website. On my Snapchat, BrianK019, that's my most active platform at the minute. So if you're not following me on there, definitely check that out. I open it up every day for Q&As back and forth where you can ask me questions. And my Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram are all Brian Keen Fitness. Massive thank you for listening, and thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic who edits the podcast. Anybody that wants to get a podcast set up, cannot recommend Cullum at Voxonic enough for it. So thanks for listening, guys. Catch you soon.